When you match your external social media presence with your internal presence, you'll experience liberation. Join me and Amanda Bucci for a fun conversation that will have you thinking differently about social media. In this episode, you'll learn why authenticity can often just become another mask that you wear, how to identify true vulnerability, why your journey with social media is really a journey of niching down into yourself, how to improve the chances of people seeing your content, and why bots and canned comments won't get you the results that you seek. Amanda Bucci is a business mentor, social media strategist, and content creator who helps entrepreneurs grow their companies to 6 and 7 figures. Whether they are just launching or already established, her personalized approach shows them how to use their entrepreneurial archetype to create a customized business model for success. Amanda has been featured in Inc. magazine and on podcasts including The Gary Vee Show, Boss Babe, and Earn Your Happy. Her own podcast, Bucci Radio, has been downloaded more than 5 million times, and she has over 550,000 Instagram followers. Widely considered a wise soul in a 26-year-old body, Amanda grew her business to 7 figures in less than 5 years by staying true to herself. She's currently studying spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica and infusing it into her business methodologies. When she's not working, you'll find Amanda playing with her dog Cooper and doing silent disco on the Venice beach. If you are new to this podcast, please stay in the loop by joining my free email community. Sign up today at rubyfremont.com/subscribe. And please be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes and download a few episodes. Now, it is time to get soulful with social media with the one and only Amanda Bucci. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back. And like I said, we are kicking year 3 off with a plethora of amazing, amazing guests. And this guest is no different. Amanda Bucci and I first connected at an event earlier in 2019. And I loved her vibe and I loved her energy. And as soon as I found out that she was into plant medicine and she's also this amazing strategist, I was like, okay, me and her need to chat like now.
It's so time to connect.
Right. So it feels like it's a long time coming, but you're finally here. Amanda, welcome to today's Thought Leader.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited to connect with you and your people.
Yeah, I know my people are going to gain so much from you. So let's start off by saying, like, I really love the way in which you show up online. Like, I really do. From the time that I've known you too, I've noticed your willingness to drop deeper because you're not, you know, the transformational coach. You do social media strategy, you're a business coach, you're a business mentor, and you're willing to go deep with your audience, which I believe creates such a strong connection because it makes me want to then read your shit and actually follow what you're saying versus the other person who's just talking at their audience. Did you always show up in that way?
Yeah, great question. And I really appreciate that also. And I feel like the way people show up is like, it's so interesting and different. Like, I've shown up in a lot of different ways online, but the one thread that's always really stayed is just authenticity and depth. And I started on social media and YouTube and Instagram specifically making fitness vlogs. So in the vlogging space, it's very much so it's like really deeply connecting. It's really interesting. I have a lot of information and just feedback from that time in my life. I did 450 YouTube videos, a ton of vlog. I know there's 22 million views on my YouTube channel. I don't make YouTube videos right now. I would love to get back into it. Yeah. But it's so interesting because vlogging is this intimate connection you have with people because you have a camera and you're sharing your day and you're showing people your house and your thoughts and your everything. And it's like, I've always had this tendency to just go deep and share what's on my heart, what's on my mind, what I'm experiencing. And I think I have always been like that. And I feel like there's such a gift to the aspects of ourselves that come naturally. There's also such a gift to building skill and taking ownership and learning how to integrate the things that don't come naturally to us. That's where we get a lot of our growth. Yes. But it's really cool to like look at what comes naturally to each of us, because it's like so much of what we can bring to the world and offer as a gift of like, this comes naturally to me, and that is something that you can take for you. And maybe if it doesn't come naturally, you can see that modeled in somebody else and look at that. And I think that's like such a cool part about social media and just like seeing the way people show up.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a window into people's lives, but also tells us a lot about, like we look at social media in our industry, we look at it as a tool. Right? It's a way for us to market ourselves, but it's also a way for us to show the world who we are. And it's the most ultimate mirror, right?
Yeah.
Like truly. We show ourselves and ultimate I know, mirror. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you post something and you're like, look at it later, maybe an hour later. And you're like, oh geez, why the fuck did I post that? I look like such a turd. Like, why am I writing this? And you delete it. The mirror, right? Like we see our shadows when we post and we see what comes up. Is it, am I posting from this place of ego or am I actually posting because like I want to serve my audience? Like what am I trying to prove here? And I know that you're a social media expert and I love that because you're so heart-centered and soul aligned. And I'd love to know your take on that. Like when we get our egos wrapped up in social media, because it's really easy to do that.
Oh my God, it's the easiest to do that. and I feel like as someone that talks to a lot of leaders, I'm sure you've seen this. It's like there's the work, the world has a lot of ego work to do, right? Yes. It's like not even just content creators and entrepreneurs and people that are putting themselves out there, but the world has a lot of ego work to do. And I remember just communicating with so many people about how they show up online, watching my own process with how I want to show up online, seeing the way in which people struggle to like match what's inside with what, with how they're presenting on the outside and how much it's literally just the soul and the ego playing this game. And that's basically what we do in our regular lives, right? We have this these protective parts. We have these masks. We have these this thing that identifies itself as I, and we want to be perceived a certain way. We want to show up a certain way. We want to enjoy those awesome aspects of ourselves. And we hide the aspects of ourselves that we don't want to look at necessarily. And sometimes it doesn't feel safe to be your authentic selves, our soul, the thing that is authentic and true to us. And it literally just gets reflected in the way that we show up on social media. Like you said, it's a deep mirror. And there's so much navigation happening when we're posting a picture that we think would be an awesome thing that gets a lot of likes from other people, then maybe it doesn't. And oh my God, I tried to do this thing and like that didn't work. And what does that mean about me? And like, how am I relating to that? How am I identifying myself? What words do I use to identify myself? Who am I? The fact that I even have to sit here and write in my Instagram bio, I am a something, 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 like,
right.
And like, there's only 150 characters and like,
how the fuck so much pressure.
So it's like you said, it's such a deep mirror. And it like, in my viewpoint of it, social media is just a representation of the collective consciousness. Mm. And the way in which people end up feeling really fulfilled with the way that they show up on social media is when they have a match, internal and external. Mm. And if there isn't a match, it can feel like I'm doing it wrong. It can feel like I'm not good enough. It can feel like comparison to other people. It can feel like there's just a mirror everywhere, especially because we scroll so often and we look at other people so often and we consume so often.
Yes.
And then we're hyper analytical about our own content and our insights and our followers and who's following and unfollowing and how is this person perceiving my content and how am I perceiving my content? Is my content good enough? And it's just, it's constant. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm writing a book about this specifically, and I'm so excited to give people more tools on supporting themselves in matching internal, external. Mm-hmm. Because that is what's going to create this like relaxation and liberation into the fact that your unique essence is actually exactly the way that you need to be in the world.
Yeah.
And there is a way with social media that everyone gets to have that opportunity.
Definitely.
And it's only getting more and more that as time goes on.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. This whole conversation is going like fucking bonkers in my head right now.
Yay.
What you said about the internal and external, I reflect back at my history on social media, because I started when social media first came out, I was working in nightlife and I was working as a promoter. And so there was a lot of posturing and look at me with my bottles and look at me with, you know, all these cool people and look at me, I'm the one who can get you in. And and so I started my relationship with social media from that place.
Right.
And now it's gotten into this place of just, here I am, take it or leave it. But that journey in itself was one of the best personal development experiences I could ever invest my time and energy into. Because it's that whole notion of matching the internal with the external. Well, first of all, you have to understand what your internal is. So you have to be able to see yourself, then and only then can you start to match it all up. But there really is, I love the word that you used, liberation. There's such liberation when you're able to just give yourself permission to show up as you. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, what I've noticed just in my own business is it brings in more of these like ultimate swoon worthy clients that I absolutely fucking love. If you're listening, I love you. Oh my God. and that's been like one of the greatest opportunities from showing up in this way. Now, over the past few years, authenticity has become a trend word.
Sure. Yeah.
And everyone is striving to be authentic, but would you agree that a lot of people who are striving to be authentic are missing the mark in striving to be?
Exactly. Yeah. It's really just another mask, right? Like it's another way that the ego works to do the thing it thinks is going to get it love and get it attention.
Ooh.
And it's like, if I'm authentic, people say that that's a good thing. And let me like try to find a way to be authentic. And it's like the same thing with vulnerability too, right?
Yes.
Like I had this moment, I'm in spiritual psychology school at University of Santa Monica. And I had a moment of recognizing that typically people tell me all the time, oh, you're so vulnerable online. How do you just talk about your relationship and your ayahuasca experiences and like your blah, 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 like all of your thoughts and your emotions so easily. Mm-hmm. And I had this like pride in myself that I was vulnerable online. Mm-hmm. And then I had this moment in my exercise that I was doing where I actually felt a little nervous to share something with people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that we're told is vulnerability. It's the thing that actually makes us feel exposed.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like the same concept with authenticity. It's not the thing that other people say is authentic, or we see someone else doing and we're like, that's super authentic. I'll be super authentic and do the same thing. It's like actually trusting that who you are is enough and putting that somewhere. Yeah. And like letting that be fine. And I feel like the journey of self-discovery in my experience has been so powerful in discovering that I'm a projector on the human design. And I am
me too.
Oh my God. So nice to just take ownership of that. I'm like,
right.
I can just let that be cool. And I don't have to be like other people and pushing and
yes.
And doing things that don't feel actually authentic to me, but like people say that that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But I don't have to do it that way. Like, how fucking liberating is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Just watching that actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like once I landed into things like that,
mm-hmm.
like just owning the fact that I wanted to pivot industries or owning the fact that I don't necessarily want to create content around this specific topic, even though that probably will get me more business clients or whatever, right. Or like, you know, little things like, oh, it doesn't feel authentic to me. So I'll just own that. And like learning what that is for yourself is absolutely a process.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you're a projector too. We need to start like a projectors club. Projectors club, because we're like so different. But it's so fascinating that for us as like business owners, as leaders, as entrepreneurs, the thing we want to do is spread our message, amplify our movement, like elevate our businesses. Yeah. And the very things that we do online could be the things that are preventing that from happening, mm-hmm. right? And pushing people away. And we could keep this whole conversation like purely aspirational, inspirational, and fluffy by saying, yeah, like just be you and all this stuff. But it's like, I think the bigger question is, how does that actually turn into then sales or leads or more people added to your movement or your cause or opportunities, mm-hmm. right? Because there's also mm-hmm. that opportunities for connection and collaboration. Because I think that's where people get stuck is like, oh, but so-and-so is doing this thing and she's making this much money and she's speaking on this many stages. So I need to do it just like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that too. And I think there's like a couple of different things with that question you asked. Number one, I think you learn about yourself by doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we all just show up to social media and entrepreneurship knowing exactly what business model is going to work best for us.
Hell no.
I certainly.
I tried
everything. And number two, we can't just assume that if something doesn't feel good, it's not authentic to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically, especially if something's new, it's not going to feel good.
Hell
actually.
No. Mm-hmm.
We can expect it to not feel good. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It might feel challenging. It might feel like we suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
But like with entrepreneurship and social media, there's a lot of new things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do our first talk on a stage. We have to do our first podcast interview. We have to tell our story. We have to do our first program. We have to do our first sales call. And even if it's not your first, we have to get proficient at it to the point where we can be like, oh, this actually, I don't want to continue this.
Yep.
So it's like, and thirdly, that's why I think it's so important for people to go on this journey, because the more people that learn about themselves and actually just stick to the thing that does feel authentic to them. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that you do this, you find this over time, then we have more models of excellence mm-hmm. of people that are doing things that might actually be more similar to what we want to do. So it's like, I see this person over here and their business model is like this, this, and this, and she's crushing it and she's not doing much of this. So maybe I don't have to do that either.
Got it.
So like the more that we can kind of like get clear on what it is that we want to do and create and how we want to do it, other people can look up to us, or even the people that other people are following, and like they're figuring out their own journey. You're going to eventually be a model of excellence for somebody else as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the way I see it is like, we're just niching down more into ourselves.
Yes. And that's a great way to put it.
Oh my God. It's like it's just like, we're getting more clear on who we are.
Yep.
So we're attracting more and more of what we want over time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love that. Because we could definitely continue to follow, and I see this as like the old paradigms of business, like follow all these different business models, and it's like we're trying to fit a mold. And just like we are in our physical vessels and our physical bodies, we all have different shapes, sizes, heights, all sorts of things. And so how can we then take our businesses, which are really our missions, like our soul-centered, heart-aligned missions, how can you take that and fit someone else's mold? It doesn't make any sense. And for years, I did that. I did that, and it drove me insane, and nothing worked. And as a projector, I was like, oh my God, I hate this. And then one day I was like, what if I just like stop looking for a minute, like just take a beat and ask myself, well, if I could make this business feel really good and feel like something that I'm excited to be in, what would that look like? What would I do? What are the things that I actually really enjoy? So I love that you said we're just niching down into ourselves, because that whole process for me was that. Like, oh, getting to know myself. I love this. And I can't wait till your book comes out, Amanda. Oh my God, hurry up, write it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I have such a similar experience of just like doing things that I thought I had to keep doing. And there's a lot that goes into it. There's like the way that people view you. And then like specifically, and just as a quick example to ground everybody.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 years, I've had this 90-day group coaching program. We talked about this a little bit on our, like, before we did the podcast call.
Yeah.
And it was authentic to me for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So authenticity is a process. It's not just one thing forever. Like, you grow as a person, and then what's authentic changes, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And this past year, I had all of this like resistance to offering it again, but we finally fucking nailed down like the delivery, the marketing, the messaging, the systems, the team. Like, we had it fucking organized to the point where we put so much time, effort, money, and energy into like making this thing awesome and building the system that like works for itself, like everyone's trying to get to when they scale. And then I had done so much work on myself and grown as a person so quickly that like it wasn't working for me anymore.
Yeah.
And there was so much like that I had to work with, or in terms of how do I want to show up? Like, I wasn't doing my podcast as much, and we can talk about this a little bit. I find myself as mostly primarily a creator. Yeah. I love creating content. Mm-hmm. I love making podcasts. Mm-hmm. I love teaching. I love, if I'm not creating, I feel like I'm dying.
Right.
And if I have a business based on my creations, that's cool, but it's not the other way around. So my business ended up being so much about the marketing and the systems and the business and the entrepreneurship energy and creating content as a means to an end, as a means to get clients into programs, right? Rather than creating for the sake of like this is my soul's expression.
Yes.
And to me, that felt like death. Mm-hmm. So it was, and I also like saw other people in my space, and I was like, okay, these are like the few other people doing the same thing as me, scaling up these types of programs. What are they doing? They're doing talks on stages about this type of content. And I was like, I don't fucking want to. I want to talk about this stuff. Like, and I was like, my question to myself that helped was, if it all went away and I had a blank slate, what would I want?
Yeah. It's a great question.
And if I didn't have to worry about who it would affect or what it would mean about me, if I switched things, I was like, I know exactly what I want to do. And deciding that was like the best decision. And it's like, there's always going to be those decisions.
Yeah.
Every time you grow as a person and things shift and change inside of you, it's just a guiding sensation towards more of your mission, right? Or like a different expression of your mission, or like the expression of your mission that works for who you are now. And like, we have to like focus on that, or else we'll feel resistance. And I think that more and more people are having a hard time living in the paradigm of, I have to keep doing this because I have to. And more and more people are like, I can't do things that don't feel good for me.
No. I mean, it's not only is it a disservice to you, but it's a disservice to those that you're serving, right? Mm-hmm. Because that energy is felt. It's like producing for the sake of producing, because I've done that too. You get into like the producing mode and you're just producing for the sake of producing. I have to put this out. I have to do this. Like, you think people are expecting it of you, but really you're just expecting it of yourself. And like your potency dies with that. Like I find myself getting more and more diluted and my message mm-hmm. becoming diluted, and it wasn't resonating as much with my audience. Exactly. Whereas when I do things from a place of passion, that's when it really lands. Like that's when it really resonates. And that's when people can really feel my message. And so I think just the whole industry of entrepreneurship, like we as part of this industry get to lead others in a different way, where it's not so much about the number of things that you're producing. It's about mm-hmm. the potency of what you're sharing and how you're showing up. Right. And like to bring this back into social media, because I mean, I literally just had a coaching call with a client yesterday, and social media is something that he's pretty new to, actually. And there's a lot of people that are very intimidated by it, right? Mm-hmm. They're so intimidated by it. And they want to know like the best ways, the best tips, the best tools, the best ways to do this. And I don't know, for me, it's like the best way is like just be you. Mm-hmm. But that can also feel really abstract. So I'd love to hear like your take on like, what are the best ways then for business owners, entrepreneurs, leaders to utilize social media?
Yeah, I love that question. And it can really feel abstract. And it's like, how did I do what I did? And I was just being myself, but how did I come to figure out what things to do and say and how to do it and how it all looks? And I think a couple of things that are like majorly, majorly important. Mm. Number one is to find a model of excellence of content that you feel excited to create in a similar way. Mm. It's like Neil Gaiman said that you only find your voice after sounding like a lot of different people.
Yes.
And I think that's really true for content creation online. And it's like, it's like there's so many people creating content online, but there is going to be a unique way in which you say things, how you say them, how your photos are taken, or how you make your graphics, or how you write your captions, or how you speak on your story, and how you express your expertise, and how you mm-hmm. express yourself. And it's like whoever you are is perfect. And of course, you're going to grow as a person, but like, let's just say you're a practitioner of sorts. Like maybe you're a Reiki master, or maybe you're a body worker or something. It's like mm-hmm. your content is going to be teaching people a lot about what you do, but you might not necessarily have this like super creative influencer-y style.
Right.
Instagram account, because that's just not who you are. Mm-hmm. So find models of excellence that are doing content that you think you would be excited to create, and study how they've really done it, and then start to put your own twist on it. Mm-hmm. That's like the easiest number one place to start. Number two is to figure out what you're going to say. And it's like that can be hard for people as well, because what I find is that I get all of my inspiration from a combination of things. It's like mostly feedback from humans though.
Yeah.
Like the more people you coach, the more sales calls you get on, the more DMs you get, the more comments you get, the more like you wonder how people have made hundreds of thousands of posts at this point. I have like 4,000 Instagram posts mm-hmm. and I have ideas for fucking days. It's like how human interaction, humans, feedback. And it's like, you're in a constant co-creation with your audience. Constant. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more challenging for people in the beginning when they're not getting feedback, because it's like, all I know what to say is what's in my head. And it's like, how are people receiving that? And when people aren't receiving it, or like you're not perceiving that they're receiving it, it's like, is this correct? Or is this, what is this? But just know that there is a way for you to create something that you can express your expertise with, that people will receive it. And once you land on like something that people receive really well, you're like, oh, what is it about this that people received it? in a particular way that got a lot of feedback, and keep going with that. The last thing is relationships, and social media, it can very much so feel like this narcissistic, here's pictures of myself, let me talk at people, let me post and see how many numbers happen on my account and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's just, definitely.
It can feel transactional, and that's not how it works, and that's not how Instagram wants you to use it. Instagram has this like AI data collection system, basically, and it decides how your posts do based on your relationship with the people that are there. So let's just say you have 100,000 followers and you have not responded to any DMs. Your shit's not going to do well.
Nope.
Maybe it'll get likes, but like your engagement's probably going to be low. People might like your stuff and not even comment. No one will share. No one will save. No one will talk about you. It might just be a surface level thing. But if you have 2,000 followers and you're communicating in the comments, you're communicating on their stuff, you're actually reciprocating. You're initiating connection. This is like personal and interpersonal relationships just translated online. You're initiating connection. You're hosting events like live videos or whatever. Like you're being that person that's like everyone wants to go be with, hang out with, and talk to, because not only are you creating awesome content, you're making people feel like humans. And Instagram knows that because of the interaction things that people can do, saving, sharing, DMing, commenting, you doing all of that stuff to them. And that is what gets your algorithm up technically. And engage, and like without your algorithm being up, without the people on your current account engaging with you, it's not going to show it to the next level of people. So when your post does well, it's going to open it up to the next level of people. Because at the end of the day, Instagram wants the user to have the best experience. And how does it know if it's having a good experience? Engaging with the human or the post or like the thing. So if you can deepen relationships, that's actually going to benefit your algorithm, or your algorithm, which is going to help you grow.
I love that. It, basically be a human on Instagram.
Basically be a human. Yeah. Like don't avoid socialization. Like we are so good at isolating ourselves.
Totally.
We're so good at working from home and being busy and not initiating. And like, I'm guilty of that as well. There was a time point in this year that I was like, there's so many people that I hang out with in LA, but like, how come I don't have as deep a relationship with people? And I'm like, oh, I'm just waiting for invitations for, which is a projector thing. Waiting for invitations from people to go do things when I should just initiate and be like, hey, you four awesome people, we should all go out to dinner together.
Yeah.
And that is what builds tribe.
Definitely.
And that's what you want on social media. You want people to feel like they're in your tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want people to come together for the cause. You want to be able to relate to people. You want to be able to connect with people. And so, you know, rather than go after the numbers, understand that the engagement is what's going to cultivate that community, which is so important. So with that being said, now we all know that there's a lot of companies out there who offer services where, I mean, my DMs are always filled with this shit. Same. Where it's like, hey, for this amount, we can, you know, triple, quadruple your following and blah, blah, blah. And it's like all these bots then that then go and like things and comment on things for you. So I would love to know your take on that.
Yeah, it's definitely like a shadowy side of the platform.
For sure.
And it's a tempting mistress. It's very like, ooh, that sounds nice, or ooh, that could definitely do something for me. But when you really think about it, what do you really think it's going to do for you? Sure, there is a level of perceived credibility that when someone comes to your page and there's numbers there, people think about you differently. I can absolutely attest to that. When I meet someone in person that doesn't know who I am and they're like, what's your Instagram? And then they see my Instagram, they're like, oh, I'm like, what? I'm just a fucking
optics.
Human.
Right. It's
there's
the optics.
Numbers. Oh my God. And I'm like, I am a human, relax. There's numbers there. Like it's a whole thing. And it's like, sure, opportunity. But
yes,
if you're building a business, you want actual humans to buy your stuff. And yes, these fake interactions aren't going to be customers.
No.
So it's like, number one, they're not going to be customers. Number two, Instagram is cracking down on a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
They are patrolling for that. They are punishing accounts that use stuff like that. It's really not a great use of time or money.
Yeah.
I do know that there are people that have bigger businesses and audiences. A lot of like our thought leader friends that have mm-hmm. used not necessarily bots, but like paid giveaways to get a lot of followers, and they pay yeah. someone to be entered into a giveaway.
Yeah.
And the giveaway is like this loop giveaway where people get a lot of followers from it. And a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can make sense if you have a very large business and your account doesn't match your impact on, like, if your follower account doesn't match your like external impact in some yeah. capacity, but it's still very much so like a front.
For
so
sure.
It's not useful for customers. It's not useful yeah. for business unless there's like bigger opportunities that you're looking for like, I don't know, book launches or something, but like yeah. it's still not really real.
Yeah. And it's so interesting.
Beneficial.
No. And I was having this conversation with a girlfriend actually really early this morning. She's super successful, clearly the expert in our industry for the work that she does. And yeah. Someone had commented to her, like, but you only have X number of followers. And it's exactly. this whole like conversation about optics. Like I don't know if you've ever heard of Rich Litvin, the Prosperous Coach. So he's an incredible yeah. coach, incredible, incredible human being, has built such a successful business for himself without social media. Like he literally just came exactly. on social media like 2 years ago and still exactly. like doesn't really put a
doesn't
ton of effort.
It.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's
yeah, you don't
so
see
many
like
people
Ryan
like that.
Holiday going to build his Instagram account. Like he's writing right. books.
Yeah. And so I think it's
books.
Like, it's like the perception of the optics, which mm-hmm. we're working with now. And at the same time, I think people are feeling more and feeling into what actually matters. For example, like I've had people using those automated systems comment on photos, and they'll comment on like a quote image, literally a quote image with words saying, lovely picture of
beautiful.
You. And yes. I'm like, okay. And then it'll like drop why? Into like some other pictures. And I'm like, okay, clearly I know you're using something. It doesn't feel good and it doesn't make me want to go engage with them. You know what I mean?
No.
It's okay. There's yeah. a dog barking in the background.
Sorry
that's fine.
About my dog. He's always okay. in my podcast episodes. I'm like, yeah. hey guys, y'all know Cooper. He loves to
that's
bark.
Cooper, everyone. Cooper. And there's like, when it comes to say you have you're looking for a business mentor. You're looking for a business yeah. mentor to work with. They can come to your IG and be like, oh, she must know her shit because she's got so many yeah. damn followers. Mm-hmm. But they can also land on one of your posts. Say you only had like 300 followers. They could land yeah. on one of your posts. And if it's written from that place of potency that you're expressing yeah. now, they could that could be all it takes to bring them in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's where things are shifting now. And we're kind yeah. of like on this, the edge of that shift.
I feel
like
that
things
too.
Are starting to shift. Yeah. And so with that, what are your views with how we can best then move forward with our usage of social media and how we are showing up, like forget yeah. the followers.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you were talking about the potency of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the people that I see doing social media well, and not even just social media well, it's like what you were talking about with people that don't use social media, but
right.
their businesses are fantastic. They're thought leaders in their space.
Yep.
They write books, they're speakers. It's like there are clearly other avenues outside of just building an audience on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are successful because they've mastered their craft.
Yes.
And they've constantly mastered their craft to the point of becoming the expert.
Yeah.
And I think with social media, there's opportunity for people that aren't yet masters of their craft to come on and become masters of their craft. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have to really honor where you're at in your own journey and just like, it's like focus on becoming really fucking good at what you do.
Love that.
And allowing yourself to become good at what you do. Like I feel like I am just continually getting better, and I've been on Instagram for 5 years. I already have a lot of followers. I've actually lost a ton of followers this year, and that's awesome. I'm so excited about that. There are people from my old life that don't resonate anymore. There are new people coming in constantly.
Yeah.
Like I'm losing 2,000 followers a week and gaining 2,000 followers a week. It's very weird. And it's like, trust that the better you get, the more success and fulfillment you're going to have, regardless of what the numbers look like. Like that's what my personal numbers journey is telling me, because I am getting happier. I am feeling better. My business has like obviously made a lot of money for me in the last couple of years. And it's like, regardless of what it does this year, I feel fucking great with what I'm doing.
Right.
And people are resonating. And like, I love the message that I'm sending. And it's like, that is where you'll find the success stuff. So trusting that the better you get at your craft and describing the message, the more success technically you'll have on social media. And if you're feeling like, okay, I'm good at that, check in with yourself. Are you being a human? Are you treating other people like humans? Because that's the other side of this. And it's like the personal development journey is dense. We have to both show up vulnerably, be a human, share our soul, express our story, and teach people, and make sure that our message is on point, and make sure that people are learning from us constantly. And it's a lot. Like, it's a lot to do. So trust the journey, because the whole point is the process. Like you are becoming the person as you're writing the captions, as you're pushing through the resistance to show up on story, as you're taking on new clients and experiencing your clients experiencing you, and you just keep getting better at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So just literally keep doing what you're doing.
I love that. I think that is such wise advice for everyone to take on. And it's a great place to start wrapping up this episode. Man, I feel like we could talk about this forever.
I know.
Like
I told you, I was like, we're going to just go.
We might have to carry on this conversation somewhere else. But I hope for our listeners, they start to look at social media differently and how they're treating it and also how they're showing up on it. And finding, you know, for our listeners, if you're looking for a model of excellence, as an example, like look at what Amanda's doing. And with that, like Amanda, where can people find you online? Where do you love to hang out?
Instagram is my place.
That's your jam.
It's been my jam for many, many years. And it's like where I express myself the most. Mm. And my podcast is also my other favorite place. And I would love to have you on over there. So your people can be like, that's my girl, Ruby. She's here. It's called Bucci Radio. If you need more support on Instagram in general, I have a course called Codes of Content, which I love. I think it's a beautiful resource to go deeper into this stuff. And there's tons of practical tips, tools, strategies, all of that stuff in engaging, growing, monetizing, and branding yourself on social media. And that's where you'll find me.
Love it. I'm going to share those links in the show notes. Everyone has that. Amanda, thank you so much for just bringing your presence, your energy, your wisdom to the show. I really think people are going to get some great insights from this episode. So thank you so much.
Of course. And I can't wait to hear what everyone has to say about the episode.
Give us some feedback. Make sure you reach out to us. You can reach out to us on Instagram. I am at Ruby. And we've got Amanda Bucci. So those links will be in the show notes. To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on today's Thought Leader, where we are challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you love this episode with me and Amanda, please be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes and share this episode with a friend. If you want to ask us questions or share insights or just say what's up, again, reach out to us on social media. And I will see you back here on Monday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader.
Awesome. Thank you guys. And thank you, Ruby.
Thank you.